Shiite Muslim gonna die.
Oh my god, man. Dude, attack! Oh my god, you're gonna die, so you might as well kill one of them.
Welcome to Rage Quit Radio.
I very well might be.
Why the heck am I lagging? Oh!
No!
Seth has joined the channel.
Are you kidding me? Thank you.
Okay.
Come on, wait, come on!
I really hate you.
What the f*** is with this guy?
Prowler has joined the channel.
Oh, why'd you guys leave me, guys?
Negative Apex has joined the channel.
Oh my, what the fuck? What is Soda doing?
Go, kill him.
Oh, I'm gonna miss the edge. You guys suck balls, man.
Welcome to... Oh, wow. Well, that was on purpose. Welcome to Rage Quit Radio. I literally had a bug in the throat.
Yeah.
Like, I bugged.
Was it
the same roach that crawled across your skin
like 6 inches long?
Hey, his name is Bob, okay? No, I have my window open right now because I was just cooking and it got really smoky in here and a bug just flew right into my window and like right in my face.
Oh,
so you should never say I opened a window because it got really smoky in my house. You should never say those words.
I was cooking.
I was thinking. Never mind. Just forget.
Moving on.
What were you thinking of? What were you denoting?
I don't know.
I cooked meth.
You don't know? Like,
what?
Yeah, I was
no.
cooking meth. Like,
I was thinking about pot, dude. Oh my god.
You don't cook pot.
Yeah, you smoke pot, bro.
Did you guys not hear me
say there's smoke in the house? I better open a window. I didn't say anything about cooking, you tards.
Well, he did, though.
All right,
so
just move on with the dang show. Oh, my God.
No, I want to talk about this more because it's...
Welcome to episode 30 now. And if you guys notice, I did change it in the notes because it did say 31. I got a little ahead of myself.
Yeah, I was confused. I was like, what?
I did get a little ahead of myself. Episode 30. How's it going, guys? What y'all been up to? What have we been up to?
Not playing Destiny right now?
I've been watching people play Destiny and wanting to punch every streamer through the TV who bought it.
Would you guys just want to go ahead and get on Destiny's topic right now? Because I kind of just... Destiny, I noticed yesterday, or no, I noticed today, you told me yesterday, Ian, that Destiny was like the number one watched game on Twitch. Yeah.
Once it hit midnight, like, let's say 30 minutes after midnight, it got number one on Twitch.
Yeah.
Everybody and their mama was streaming Destiny.
Now it's number two. League of Legends.
Oh, my God.
League of Legends took its spot back.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That didn't last long.
What happened was half the gamers already beat the game, so...
Yeah. There's nothing left to stream.
I saw pictures of people already hitting level 26. Is the level cap?
Or I thought it was 24... It's like you hit your level cap, but then it's weird. It's like you're not really max level.
If I could
level,
be playing Destiny right now, I might be max level.
You get other abilities even after you hit max level. It's a very odd system they implemented.
It was kind of like how it was in the beta when we hit level 8, we were still getting
gaining experience for
Okay. I mean, no, what about like the gear? Do you guys know if the gear continues to level up as well, or does it like stop at 24 or 20?
I don't know. I could tell you if I was able to play Destiny right now.
Oh my god. Every gear has so many upgrades that it can unlock, so it's not like infinite. And like, you know, not all gear has unlocks. Some of them you can choose what you want.
Most of the like rare gear has unlocks to them, so
yeah.
So what's with all the I won't, maybe it's not so much controversy, but you know, maybe it is, but the whole thing going back and forth with like Microsoft, the Xbox and PlayStation Sony and going with, you know, their ad campaigns with Destiny. Like, what exactly is going on with this?
Let me ask you guys, like, how many Destiny commercials have you seen? I mean, and we've seen a ton. Have Xbox One or on Xbox One after the commercial's done. I've seen zero.
I haven't seen any. And you know what's funny is I remember, I'm pretty sure it said plays better on PlayStation 4 at the end. So,
yeah.
Is Microsoft just not allowed to advertise for them at all? Or is it just that?
Apparently, there's some things they can't. When I logged in this morning on Xbox Live, Microsoft was the first, to my knowledge, I have not verified this, they were the first one to be like, hey, if you buy digitally, you can upgrade for free if you buy an Xbox One later on,
right,
January 15th or something. I think PS4 like immediately did the same thing after they announced it. Don't quote me on that. I haven't looked it up to verify it. But I do know Microsoft did that. So,
which you brought out like the other day that was a good move because of the holiday season coming in.
Yeah.
Like, granted, that's not really a whole lot of time. Like, I'm probably not going to get an Xbox One in the next 4 months, but...
Well, there's a lot of people be like, hey, I got this credit card just for my Xbox, and they're going to go out and get one. Because I'm sure there's going to be some pretty good deals or, you know, beating people over the head during Black Friday. So.
Yeah, you got like Black Friday, and then you got Christmas coming up and stuff, so... Yeah.
Oh my god, Black Friday. I did it last year. It was terrible. Terrible.
So, yeah, who worked at Walmart when Black Friday was going on?
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
I did.
That was awful, I bet.
Real quick, I know we're getting a little off topic, but the only retail store that's ever had a good Black Friday that actually like flowed well and smooth was Fry's Electronics.
I could see that. Dude, I would drive to your house if I had money to buy stuff to go to Fry's on Black Friday.
Yeah.
I'd do it.
Yeah, I got my NVIDIA GTX 550i for like $80 when it's like $180
or
$190. Yeah,
yeah.
Anyway, back on topic. Destiny.
We gotta talk about this Xbox ad.
Yeah. Is this real now? Because apparently, Microsoft put out a cologne. Right?
It's an ad.
It's just an
but
ad.
But it's not actually cologne.
Okay.
The cologne,
if you read
itself,
the really
doesn't...
tiny writing.
Yeah.
I can barely see it. What does it say?
It's like,
Destiny,
thing is,
okay.
We don't have permission to run average for the game, so we didn't. Thanks for smelling. Something was up. Now get the game and become a legend.
Yeah. So the fragrance does not exist. It's just an ad for the game Destiny that apparently they can't advertise for the game Destiny.
Yeah. And that had to be taken down.
Yeah, that was taken down.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And this only happened in the UK. The UK Twitter, apparently. Or the UK
now
Facebook.
The website now says, this was updated at 4:14 p.m. Hi, there are some great Xbox One offers available at the moment. Please check with retailers for more information.
What?
That's what it says now.
What kind
Sony,
of an update is
like,
that?
Knocked on the door and was like, yo. What's going on?
Why are you advertising?
Is that a
Destiny?
Sony ad? No, it's cologne. Cologne. See? I'm holding my finger over the name of it, but it's cologne.
They probably could have gotten away
advertise.
With it. Yeah. They probably could have gotten away with it if they didn't put the Xbox logo on there. Cuz like, you know,
Destiny by Xbox.
You know what the sad thing is I would probably get it.
So what are you wearing?
Destiny
by Xbox.
Destiny from the strip club?
No, Destiny's Child.
Yeah. Don't spray Destiny on your Xbox. It may void the warranty.
Voids the warranty
if you bought
Destiny on Xbox.
Dude, you said don't spray Destiny on the Xbox, and I immediately thought of the stripper.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
You would.
I was talking about
he mentioned
fragrance.
Destiny the Stripper earlier too.
I was talking about the fragrance.
Anyway.
I just wanted to mention that we do know also that they have exclusive, Sony has exclusive DLC rights for a whole year. So.
Yeah.
That's a long time because
bull crap.
Because in a year the price is already going to drop. Probably less than that. 6 to 8 months maybe the price will drop.
Well, I mean everybody's already max level except for me cuz I had to come do the show, so.
Oh, I don't know why I just thought of it. Are we done talking about Destiny? Was there anything else?
Situation is bull crap for Microsoft.
There was something else. God. Oh, we'll bring it up later, but there's that article about even the Arkham Knight, the Arkham Knight game being promoted in Japan. If you click on like the Xbox banner, it takes you to Sony's website for Arkham Knight.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Dude, Sony's
dirty, man.
And, you know, last year we were all like, man, Sony's E3 conference was so good. Man, we're totally on board with Sony. Now, the complete opposite.
It's because they were jerks. They were jerks, and I didn't want to buy a $400 game system
indie
to play
machine.
Indie games.
How much do you think, though, as far as Destiny is concerned, how much of that do you think, though, is really Sony and not Activision?
It's both. It's an agreement between, and some people are going to rave up and down about, well, Call of Duty and Microsoft, you know, Activision already has a deal with them. The difference is they only have those maps for about 90 days.
Not a year.
Yeah, that's messed up.
That's ridiculous. I'm kind of glad I bought it on the 360, especially like after reading that whole advertisement thing. It's like that they weren't even like allowed to advertise for Destiny. I was like, kind of glad I bought it there and gave them my money.
Sony is hurting themselves with the way they speak. It was like when they had their press conference, you know, Microsoft was like, hey, good job. And then like Microsoft has their press conference at E3 and some dumb Sony person, you know, made a smart comment. And everybody's like, whoa. That's crap. They congratulate you, and you're like, ha ha, you have nothing.
I like the Japanese voice.
That wasn't meant to be a Japanese voice.
I kind of sounded like it a little bit.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
The racist thought that was a Japanese voice.
Wow.
So you call me racist, bro?
So bad.
Yeah.
Anyway, what I was going to bring up, and I can't remember why now because it was so long ago.
I'm sorry.
It was just talking. We were talking a lot about just consoles and, you know, the new next gen, Xbox One, PlayStation, even PC gaming and everything. Like, we've been talking about that a lot. I watched, and maybe you guys saw it too, those Teens React videos. Have you guys ever seen those?
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the one about the NES?
I was watching that, and I looked at my wife and went, am I really that old, or are they really that dumb?
You did watch it?
Yeah.
Okay. I've never written this before. I had my jaw drop the entire thing. I couldn't, like, close I couldn't close my mouth.
How many people die to the first Goomba? I was like, there's no way. All those people.
Every single one of them.
Every one of them died to the first Goomba.
Even the like teenagers that claim they played this so much.
Oh yeah.
Oh my God.
I felt so old.
That's kind of what I was just thinking. Because one guy, when he handed the NES, I thought it was the funniest, most sad thing I've ever heard, was he thought he had handed him a projector. He was like, what is this? Is this like a projector or something? And no, it's an NES.
And what? They're like, this is so uncomfortable. I'm like,
this is a gaming console?
You know, thinking back on it, yeah, sure, it was a boxy rectangle thing, but you could beat the crap out of it. Nowadays, you get mad and slam your Xbox controller. You're like, well, there went $60.
I just wanted to bring that up real quick and just realize how old I feel. Yeah. Oh my God, Josh. If you want to ever feel old, go watch that video and see. Like, and like, is, there were there, but there were like 19,
you'll
almost
have to
20
give me
year
a
olds
link to it because you know I'm lazy.
There were like 19 and 20 year olds, which you know that's only like 5 years younger than me that have no clue what it is. That's not
yeah, that's
that
crazy.
Far off. Yeah. And one guy thought it was like a the DS. He was like, is this an older version of the DS or a Game Boy? Is it, oh, this is a Game Boy.
Oh, yeah, like three people said, oh, it's a Game Boy. And I'm like,
what?
Yeah, because you can totally stick that in your pocket. And the, you know, the TV is on your back on straps.
The old CRT monitor TVs. Like they like they couldn't figure out how to open the front to put the game
I,
in.
I
Are you kidding
really
me?
Yeah, they couldn't. I thought it was really neat that they gave them a dirty cartridge and it was like, "Here, put it in." And they're like, "What?
It's not working.
It's not working."
It's
and they
working.
Like hit reset. They turn it back on again.
Oh my god!
And it was like, how did we as kids think, "Hey, let's blow in it"?
But here's the thing: not
like, let's
it's not
just
like
blow in it works.
Just blow it.
All of us thought that, though. All of us. It's not like we had the internet so easily available and just like, okay, how do I fix this? Everyone just instinctively thought, blow on it.
Blow in it.
And it. But it would work. I mean.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That's crazy.
I had my NES for so long that the spring, you know, when you push the cartridge down and it came down and it would lock, snapped. So I had to put a cork to keep the cartridge in place in order to play games. No joke.
That's awesome.
I had to use a rubber band on my Sega Genesis to keep the cartridge down. I mean, yeah, it worked. Oh, and remember, you guys remember, like, if there was an expansion for the game and it was for a cartridge, like, it was one of those cartridges that, like, you had to connect one to another.
Yeah, the Genesis did that. And the Super Nintendo, I did that, I believe. I think.
I
could be wrong.
I thought that was so cool. It was like, hey, I got Sonic the Hedgehog. Oh, I got Knuckles. Let me just pop the cartridge on top of that. And meanwhile, let me make a block tower with it. Oh, man. Good times. Anyway.
We should totally make like our favorite retro games list.
Oh, yeah.
Because Road Rash would be like in the top five.
Road Rash. Oh my god, hitting people with baseball bats and chains on a motorcycle.
I think
it's horrible.
I think the chain, I believe, was my favorite weapon because it had the longest reach.
Dude, I used to hate playing that game against you and your brother because y'all...
Dude, we played it all the time, man.
Dude, my sister and I like would play as much as we could because I remember we would borrow it from you guys. And all we wanted to do was beat you two. We never could. Oh man, that game. All right. Enough time down memory lane. DayZ. Guys, guess what? Another interesting article about DayZ, you know, how
weird.
we love talking about DayZ. We love playing DayZ. This is not in a sarcastic way whatsoever. We really do. I know.
I
love DayZ.
I say it's like a 20 to
love hate
80% chance that we actually enjoy our DayZ sessions.
So, when was the last time you actually played the standalone?
Probably
a couple months ago.
I'd say over a month.
Maybe a month or month and
because
a half.
Because we started, I only know that because we started playing Overpock like the next few days after, and I only know that because it takes 20 days for the walls to decay, so.
And all our walls disappeared because nobody kept them.
And we built that, like, that week, so yeah, it's about a month.
Yeah.
I just think it's funny, though, that we went back to the mod because we were just bored.
Yeah.
Yeah, we you know, that day that we decided to get on standalone again, we spent most of the session just meeting up, and then we literally kind of just dicked around and then logged off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway,
nothing to do, man. I mean, it was
DayZ, the running simulator.
Yeah, and the bug simulator.
Sightsee your way across Chernarus.
Anyway, Brian Hicks, who's the producer for DayZ, basically saw a form that was titled, "Has anyone else lost faith in DayZ?" Well, I'm sure that that article was filled with lots of love in
tons of
in it. You know, because this is the internet. But he felt the need to reply to some of the comments on there. And one of his replies was, well, you're not actually playing DayZ. Okay. He says that you're playing a development build. Early development build.
Which he's right.
Yeah, he's totally sure. Right.
I mean, you got to, like, when you go to buy the game, it's like, hey, don't buy this game. It's an early alpha.
Yeah, it was the only game that I saw that said, don't buy it. This game is an alpha.
Yeah.
And yet it was still like the top selling game during the Steam sale.
Then honestly, all of that, yeah, that's legitimate, makes sense. I understand. This game should not have been early access. That's my opinion. It should have just been held on, taken as long as it needed, because gamers don't understand early access.
Dude, you don't remember when we were waiting for the standalone. Like, everyone was complaining about how long it was taking for the standalone to come out.
Yeah.
We would never see the game. It wasn't being developed. It was going to fall off the... Like, everybody was complaining before the standalone came out how there was no standalone. So they come out with, okay, we're going to give you early access. We're going to give you big red letters that say, hey, this is early access. This is early development. And now we're complaining that it shouldn't have been released.
I mean,
come on, guys. I mean,
here's
my only gripe.
Real quick. Sorry.
Okay, go.
I just want to get this out. I was not being impatient for this game. And I'm just telling you, my personal feeling towards this game was, same thing with the Old Republic. Yeah, I was getting, you know, antsy, but I still was hoping that the game would be a good quality game when it came out. This should not have been put out early release. That's what I'm saying. Anyway, go ahead.
My only issue is, I understand we were told straight up before we bought it, hey, it's not done. Don't buy it if you think this is going to be a finished product, blah, blah, blah. I think it was too expensive. It was probably one of the most expensive early access games I've seen. I think the most I had seen was $20, and this was $30.
And so, correct me if I'm wrong, you have to pay an additional amount once the game is complete?
No.
Once you pay the 30, that's it.
Okay.
It'll be more expensive when the game comes out.
Yeah, for people they announced when the alpha quotation marks came out.
I think people are ragging on it too much. And I'm the first person to rag on how bad DayZ is.
And we all know how good experiences you have in DayZ with glitches and so on.
Right? Like getting pushed through a hospital wall and dying.
Or just dying.
Or just dying.
Just magically.
Just falling over.
That's normal.
That's normal. I still think people are being way too hard on it. I mean, they freaking said it's early alpha. They give plenty of warnings. People were complaining about how there was nothing. Like, what do you do? I mean, this game is different from other early alpha access stuff.
That's true, but
because there was already a game out as a mod, it went into an official development.
You have to understand too that everybody with a brain knew when the game went from mod to when God, I can't think of his name. When he announced that they were going to be making standalone and they're going to... Yeah. Like, everybody with a brain knew that the team had horrible management. There was total mismanagement of priority, whatever they were doing. And they were like, no, you don't know how complicated this is. This takes way too long. And they made excuse after excuse after excuse. And it just made them look like they didn't know what they were doing when they should have probably just been quiet.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to argue that.
I mean,
the
team are mad.
The team probably should have done way more in the development time that they have done. I'm not going to argue that at all.
And I was just saying, more bohemia than the group. It was like when they saw all those purchases being made, Bohemia should have been like, okay, here's the entire Arma 3 team. Go at it.
Right? I mean, or they just should have bought in some better developers. Like, I don't... Like, I mean, we've talked about how, like, yeah, it's like two people working on DayZ right now. You know, we made jokes like that because of...
That's what it seemed like. Yeah.
Yeah, and it still kind of seems like that. But I still don't think that, like, people need to be, like, ragging on it how there's nothing to do right now because
I will say
it's still in development.
Update,
it's still in early access.
Every
I mean,
update
he,
they've
and
done
he,
has
and
been
is,
very good, you know?
And it has. I mean, whether it's been, like, I mean, a lot of people complain, like, good. The updates that they put out aren't, like, focused on the right things. But beside that, like, you know, maybe some of us think that, you know, they should be focusing on other stuff. The stuff that they do put in is good. Generally, but like part his quote here says, DayZ is 11 months into principal development on what should be a 3-year stint development cycle.
That scares
I can't
me.
Force you to be a fan of DayZ, but I can call this out. I was reading another article that it was about the Final Fantasy, which we haven't talked about. How standard like AAA titles, like 4 years in development is pushing it, but that puts it at, like, you know, a 2 to 3 year development period. And that is without having to deal with, going from a mod to a game and doing this, doing that, and dealing with the community and stuff.
And I think, too,
so, I mean, I think 3 years is a practical standpoint. I don't think they're far enough along in the 11 months that they should be, but I don't see how, like, making a big deal of it is going to do anything.
The reason why, you know? I make a big deal, and probably most people do, is when you hop back to the mod and you play, like, we play Overpock, you know, there's been like probably 20 different styles of the mod.
Yeah
there's glitches, there's a ton of them. There isn't a lot of optimization, but it was like there's so many things you could do in some of those mods that it was like, why can't we do even half or a quarter or 1% of what we can do in these mods in the standalone? Why can't we do that?
Yeah, there's like triple the amount of content in
the
mods.
The big thing that the
standalone
has on the mod is the survival aspect of it. Is extremely in-depth, and it has a lot of cool features on that. I really think that that's what they've been focusing on the most right now. I mean, they did just put in tents. But granted, you can't save anything of them, but for me, that was kind of the coolest thing when I first started playing the mod was, oh my god, I can get a tent. So the game right now, if I could just get vehicles or even a bicycle, something to help me get around the map, I think that would make me feel more like the game is getting closer to being completed.
You said, like, with if they could have, like, tents that save stuff at server restart and, like, some way to transport yourself around the map, that would basically be original DayZ.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's pretty much all we need at this point to get that feeling back.
I would, we would play. I would play standalone if we could have saving
some
tents.
Way to save. Yeah, just some way to have progression. I think the problem with, like, the things that they're putting in is just like I am going to blame, like,
misprioritization of what they need to be working.
That
I
don't
you
think
get this disease. Yeah. I don't care.
Right.
What were you saying, Josh?
Also. Well, I think that, you know, it's like they're misprioritizing some things. Two, I think that the development team doesn't have a lot of experience. I think there's a lot of inexperienced guys on the team just because of how slow development is going. And third, I think that, I had a really good one for the third one and I can't remember.
development.
No, it was like
I can't even.
I'm like, it was like the one point I wanted to bring out and then Ian interrupted
me. Well, here, real quick. I want to read a quote, so think about it while I'm reading this. He does go on to say that, hey, look, take a break, come back in beta or even in full release. The early access period of development will have many perks, or I'm sorry, peaks and low valleys. This is the nature of software development. Yes, it is stressful as heck for all of us, but you get to the part of shaping the DayZ experience. You get to be a part of the shaping of the DayZ experience. I still stand by the fact that I don't believe that they should have released the game early.
I disagree that, because they were giving people what they wanted.
I heard, pay me $30 and I'll give you a game in 3 years.
So we that's all, what I got. So we have three different views on the DayZ development team.
I think we could all agree that they're bad at their jobs.
I feel like they're overwhelmed with what they have.
Yeah, I agree. Like Rocket and the main majority, I just don't think they got the support early enough, and they may not be getting enough.
Do you think Rocket's inexperienced though?
Some of their videos that they put out did make it seem that they were kind of just, you know, three guys in a garage developing this game. Yeah. I don't want to believe that, and but you know, it's hard to, I don't know, man.
To me, they're shooting themselves in the foot because competition is coming.
Oh yes.
You know, they've had competition that's been kind of H1Z1,
and it's already got the things that we were just talking about that we want.
So what happens when that game comes out? We get everything we want.
And then DayZ comes out 2 years later.
Yeah. It's going to be like, or a year later. You know,
I want
my $30 back.
You know, it doesn't help that that Dean decided to go hike Mount Everest like right in the middle of development. I mean,
that's a once in a lifetime opportunity.
So it's coming out with DayZ. Do it after DayZ.
It's kind of frustrating that Bohemia isn't putting more resources behind it. Especially
after all the money they made.
Yeah, you know, I think they could push development a little bit faster.
I could find a forum post, but somebody had a forum post on how much money they made on Arma 3 and how much money they made off of DayZ standalone. It was like, does anybody have a brain there?
No.
Now, mind you, Arma 3 is amazing.
Yeah, it is.
They have so much mod support and community support that we're going to see so many more mods that we saw in Arma 2 on Arma 3, and it runs better. For some people.
Well, but, for people know, that have computers.
Yeah.
I feel like
not toasters.
I feel like Bohemia is doing the whole let's piggyback off of the community to get our game out. Like relying on modders, like relying on, you know, have our testers pay us kind of thing. To test the game.
That's another aspect though that Bohemia Games have always done though, that they've always had their games highly moddable, which
you could say the same thing about the Source Engine. I mean, look at Left 4 Dead.
Look at Elder Scrolls.
That was made by the developer, that idea came from somebody playing Counter-Strike with bots with knives.
You're right.
So, I mean, you could go really far with that idea.
That's true. That is very true. I didn't think about that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that is Arma, though, being a highly moddable, like, build your own missions and stuff. That's always been Arma. So you can't really, like, say that they're, you know, just riding off the. I mean, they developed a good core game and then they let the modders do the rest of the work, you know, because.
And they do a good job.
That's what Arma is. Yeah. I mean, and the modders do an excellent job with Arma and Arma 2 and Arma 3. I don't even know if this was the third thing I was going to say, but I think why it's taking them so long to put things in the game is because they're trying to put things in that are correct. You know, they're not just trying to put something in as a piecemeal, which I kind of think they should do. But that's like kind of like the why they don't have cars, because they didn't want, you know, they like wanted to completely redo the car system and put them in as a finished product. So they're trying to put like in finished products in the game one at a time instead of putting stuff that's still in the process of being worked on
I
and continuing to work on it.
Wait a minute though. That does a very good point, but I remember them talking about the zombies, that they wanted to rework the zombies completely.
Yeah, the zombies are still crap. I don't know.
But they still put them
what
in.
What are they going to do, though? It's like, it's not going to be DayZ without zombies.
Oh, we're going to take them out a little bit, guys.
But it's like...
Let's take out the zombies.
They went
what
back.
What are y'all doing standing around here?
Bandit Z. Day Bandit.
But, sandbox, yeah. PvP.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only thing I would see confusing with that, because that would make sense, but then it's like, well, we just reverted the zombies. Because, I mean, they had, it, when the early access came out, the zombies were different than what they are now. They did revert them back to their old spawning system, because back it was like what, 1,000 zombies would spawn on the map, and that would be all till server restart. Well, they
you
reverted
clear, it. Yeah, you
clear
out a-
Yeah, you could clear out the whole map of the zombies, but they reverted it back to like the mod version because they, for whatever reason, couldn't get it working.
I think that's another thing, though. It's just inexperience, or they're trying to work off a system that doesn't work, which is something it's a throwback to other shows we've done where I've always stated that they don't need to try to be working off the Arma 2 engine and stuff, because I've never seen it working out well for them.
It's like
3 years down the road we'll know for sure. But you know, that's, I've called that in the past, that you know, that Arma 2 engine is just not going to work for them. But I also think that, you know, if they can't get it working, I think that's partly inexperience on their part.
Well, we kind of need to move on. We're about 35 minutes in. But, guys, listeners, you know, if you have thoughts or opinions, or you want to add in to, you know, we talk about DayZ so much, and we love talking about them. Send us, you know, your thoughts, your questions, whether it's on Facebook or email. You know, our email is mlrragequitradio@gmail.com. So send us, you know, if you have any questions or anything you just want us to discuss, just send it there. And on Facebook, just go to facebook.com/ragequitradio, and you know, we could talk about it on there too. But anyway, let's move on. Okay, we have about 23 minutes left, so let's prioritize here, guys. We got League of Legends lore,
and Final Fantasy.
Okay, because I thought there was something else. Oh, the Tokyo Game Show. I kind of figured
it's
Ian
just
would
from
want
Sony. We could do it next week, you know.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know. It's so, up to you guys.
So, League lore? All right. League of Legends, yeah. It's coming out with new lore, which I've never really heard of this happening before. It's like, hey, guys, we've been out for so many years, but now we're deciding to change, like, the whole story.
It's a reboot.
I liked the story, even though there really wasn't any story at all.
It was very mismatched.
Yeah. Like the only story you could gain was from the lore of each champion, and it would be like, oh, this person's related to so-and-so. And then you would like piece together some things.
But like, I think some of the lore contradicted itself.
Yeah,
and
it
a lot
did.
Of the lore was just very mismatched. There was no clear like image of the world.
Well, like the image that I got was just the only thing really that matters right now is the league and the arena that they're fighting in and the summoners. Like the summoners control, and almost it was like, this is how we settled our disputes, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, but it's never been like, I don't know.
And the summoners just control these specially selected heroes or champions to go into this battle arena to settle disputes.
Disputes.
That's all it really seemed like. Each champion was just one. It was each person trying to get into this league, but you didn't really know what else was going on in the world. And then, like...
Well, you didn't have a very... You had, like, a decent picture of the league, but you didn't have a clear picture of the entire world.
Yeah. Yeah, like, they tried a little bit with... when the Howling Abyss came out, they tried doing a whole thing with Sejuani,
yeah.
Lissandra, and Ashe, which I thought was really cool and really well done. You got to learn that there was a whole huge story based around just those three, and it was like, okay, we don't really care about it. Yeah, oh yeah, and Trundle.
There's more. There was, you know, Volibear, Braum, Udyr.
Wait,
everybody
Udyr
was part of their own little section.
Yeah.
Oh wow, I didn't know that. But, like, that had nothing to do with the arena that the Summoner's Rift. It had nothing to do with Summoner's Rift. So I kind of thought maybe they would continue doing things like that, like when they were talking about Magma Chamber and how it was supposed to be like 10-on-10, which
we've
so
never
excited.
Heard of again.
Yeah, maybe.
I would not want to see 10-on-10. I'm saying that right now. 5 more people complaining, I'd probably jump off a bridge.
Jump into the lava.
Throw my computer into a lava pit.
But like... sorry. Yeah, go ahead. I'm done.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, yeah, I think the reboot... On one hand, I don't really think it's that necessary. I mean, because it's League of Legends, it's an arena-based game. There's not really a lot of story that needs to be, you know, you're not really playing League of Legends for the story.
Yeah.
So just, okay, get that thought out of the way. You're not really playing League of Legends for the story. It's not a necessary.
It's kind of like old school World of Warcraft. You didn't really know what was going on, but yeah. You were just playing it because.
Yeah. But on the other hand, a reboot sounds really cool. Like being able to like, you know, if they really got like all of the champions nice and harmonious, you know, everything, you know, melds together and makes sense and stuff, we could start seeing League of Legends books and stuff, and like a book on like the war between Demacia and Noxus and stuff like that. So, you know, a reboot of the lore could be really cool. It'd be fun to read. You know, apparently I've never actually even seen any of these. There's like different, obviously though, cause there's fan stuff about everything, but, fan comics and stuff like that. So, you know, I think a reboot would be cool.
That you said that, you know, story doesn't matter. People just play League. They will gain a whole nother fan base if they can write well. And it becomes a very good, intriguing, something I want to know more about lore. They're going to gain more people just because of, you know, the characters.
Yeah.
You're going to like this character because he did this. Like, spoiler alert, if you don't want to know anything about potential new lore, this could change. I don't know. But I totally like the story about Renekton way more than the old one. And that's because I mainly like playing him top. And now that he's got a cooler lore, I'm like, oh, hey, that's awesome, you know?
So wait, you were able to find the full new lore? Because I only found tidbits. What on Renekton and like Nasus? Were you able to find it completely?
I
have it in the notes.
It must have,
yeah,
I must
I
have
saw
picked
it.
The wrong one.
It's right there under Renekton. The full new lore.
Riot put it on their Facebook. There's some art that goes with the story. Like I said, if you don't want to know the new story, I don't know, mute us for like 2 minutes. I have no idea. But with Azir coming out, they've added some new lore with Xerath, Nasus, and Renekton, and I love it. I really love it. The only thing I don't like is Xerath. And the reason why I'm saying that is he's blue. And if you read the story, it's like he got the power from a sun disc.
Yeah.
Yellow?
I noticed that too.
I was like,
honestly,
why is he blue?
Maybe they'll rechange his skin or something, like his basic skin.
I would imagine. I liked his old lore. I liked how it was just...
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
He was wanting to find, you know, arcane magic or whatever, and he found some that just wasn't able to sustain a human body or whatever. And then it just completely... Like, I think they kind of kept to that lore a little bit, just with that aspect. But, like, I kind of like the idea of how he was, like, imprisoned for thousands and thousands of years trying to get out, and then almost like a genie, like, somebody accidentally let him out.
Yeah, but with... whole thing Renekton, it's like a complete 180. Like
because him and Nasus are like buddies now, aren't they?
Well, they were buddies to begin with, but we remember
them as
that
rivals now is the only thing.
Yeah. I don't know how they're going to change that in game, you know, because they still have that. I don't know.
Wait, is it because NASA's quote left Renekton down in the pit with
he tried
Zeus?
Well, no.
Kill him or something.
It says in the lore that Renekton shouted to Nasus to seal the door.
Oh, okay.
And with a heavy heart, Nasus entombed his brother with a madman. So the old lore was that Nasus...
They were enemies.
All I got was Nasus had a library full of knowledge, and Renekton judged people to go and hear about these things or whatever. He was like, you know,
sent them
a gatekeeper.
If they were evil.
Yeah, and the evil that he kept sensing in people's hearts made him evil. That was the current lore.
Yeah.
I like the new lore way better. I like a lot. So
as far as Renekton goes, I like it so much better.
What do you guys think about possibly doing more things in game, like how I think about Caitlyn and Jinx and Vi. Or Rengar
and
Kha'Zix. Like, they have little quests that kind of pop up. I don't know if they completely do anything.
I know with Rengar and Kha'Zix it does. You get if you're Kha'Zix and you get Rengar's head, you're able to evolve all of your skills, and I think Rengar you just get more movement speed. I think that's the only thing you get. I could be wrong. They did change it, so I don't know.
I was just thinking, like, because with Sejuani or Lissandra or Ashe, like, all you got was just a crown or something.
Yeah. Big whoop.
Yeah, it didn't really mean anything. Anyway, I would just love to see kind of more interactive stuff in game with, like, rivals or even friends, like, you know, all the pirates or all the ninjas get a cool buff or something. I mean,
for professional play, they could just have an option to turn it off.
Yeah. And like you could tell a story just through just that, I think. I mean, because if I'm playing League and I see and I'm playing Caitlyn and I see a Jinx and I'm going to read her buff and I don't know a thing about the lore, then I'm already going to know that there's something between Caitlyn and Jax. I mean, not Jax.
Jinx.
And I'm going to go look it up. You know, I think that's kind of a cool way of getting people involved with the lore. They really have a whole lot of material to work with. I actually just thought of something. And maybe we could pull in our friend that has been able to test the new game mode that has something to do with the lore here in a second with Ascension. Because Ascension is part of the lore between Nasus and Azir and Xerath and Renekton, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And she's played Ascension. Let me see if I can get her on here real quick.
Okay.
I know the gist of the gameplay mode other than there is a giant Xerath one part of the board, and I think if you kill him you get like a really awesome buff. But so other than like that, it's like territories. Nash, it's like something. The same thing as
Dominion.
Like Dominion, but
Domination.
Not.
Or Dominion,
yeah,
I don't even know. I don't even play
it's
the
Dominion,
game
dude. You got it right the first
Dominion.
Time.
Okay.
Yeah, you got it right the first time. But they just have to be careful because there is some lore they shouldn't mess up, you know?
Yeah.
To certain rivalries, you shouldn't mess with, like, Diana and
Soraka.
Leona. I can't think of anybody else other than and Zed. You know, if they could dwell deeper in that and involve, like Lance said, having more of an impact on gameplay, like if Zed kills Shin or Shin kills Zed, you have this happen. you know, you're going to make people get invested in champions or more excited about a new champion coming out going, ooh, I wonder who he's connected to, you know?
Right.
The only problem I see with that is, hang on. She said she'll be on in 5 minutes, so we can move on to the Final Fantasy thing real quick if y'all still want to talk about that, and we can come back and talk about Ascension.
Okay, well, let me finish.
Finish your thought. Yeah.
God, really? You interrupted me. And I,
well, I had to.
Oh, the only problem I see with that is, like, if those two are on the same team. But you could like introduce that as like anytime they're near each other, you get like these
deep,
you know,
flaring
eyes or something. That's
well.
Like you suck or something, you know. Zed runs past Shen and is like, "You suck."
You suck.
Zed's like, "Bring it," or something, you know.
Oh my god!
I think. Let's talk about Final Fantasy, and she goes on, we'll talk about more about Ascension.
Okay. I'm not going to go into the whole article about this. Kotaku put out a really good article called The Final Fantasy 15 Problem. And if anybody has been keeping up with 15 knows that, well, it's been a problem. The game was first going to be Versus 13, and not last E3, the year before that, they renamed it 15. But it was announced back in May 2006. That's when one of the first things came out on this game.
So what, 8 years ago?
It's encroaching on Half-Life 3 territory. It's
10 years
really hitting there.
Of this.
But this is the difference. Valve has a successful... Wow, that's weird. successful games. They have tons of things that are amazing. They don't have to worry about anything. Square Enix, on the other hand, has not been doing well. They've had a lot of either mediocre releases or just flops. And basically, the future of consoles, the Final Fantasy genre is lying in the hand of 15. If 15 doesn't do well, who knows what will happen? We could only see DS or Vita Final Fantasies if this game fails.
So you really think that, yeah, like basically the whole franchise is on the shoulders of 15?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
They are so scared of releasing to me 15 that they are not going to give us a release date until the game is done. I really think that. I don't think it's going to be, it's in development. I think it's going to be, when it's done, we get a release date. Because they just have messed up with 13. 13 was really bad. And even though the MMO was one of the only reasons why they had a positive... what do you call that? Money. They were positive for that quarter because.
What do you call that green thing we use as currency?
No. I was going to call. I can't think of the name. There's another name for it, but they only did well recently because of the success of the MMO, which is
right.
14. So, basically, like I said, we won't see anything on 15 for a while. TGS is approaching. I highly doubt we'll see anything on Final Fantasy 15 until the game is done.
Yeah.
Or even like
according
next
to the article, at E3 2010, Square Enix released that the re-reveal trailer. So everyone was like, oh, hey, maybe. Final Fantasy 15 is not very far away. That was in 2013. 15 months later, we haven't gotten a word with it or anything. And there was a quote in here that said something about Final Fantasy something zero. Oh,
yeah.
Final Fantasy Type Zero
as a stop gag between now and Final Fantasy 15, and that just releases in the fall of 2015.
And just a quick info on Type-O, this was a Japan-only Final Fantasy that came out on the, not Vita, the other one, the PSP. And this is going to be a full HD remake. And to me, they're testing the waters because Type-O has not turn-based combat. It's real-time combat, which is what 15, if you watch the trailer, focuses on is real-time combat. It's almost like they're testing the waters for, do people like this? Do they not like this?
Yeah.
So.
Oh, crap. They don't like this. We have to re-develop the game.
Yeah.
But, okay, so I'm sorry. Type-O comes out at the end of next summer. So what they were saying, so with a stop gag between Type-O and Final Fantasy 15, we might not see anything until 2016. If we don't see anything until 2016, that's a 10-year development.
That is crazy.
And this is the article I read that was like, even for AAA games, 4 years is pushing it for development.
And at least with Half-Life 3, we haven't seen anything on it. It doesn't exist.
Doesn't exist.
It's like, oh, it's right here.
Not in development. Oh, it's right here.
Look at Duke Nukem, too.
Oh, let's not talk about that.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
I don't even know what that is.
Oh my god. Anyway, welcome, Katniss. Thanks for coming on in short notice.
No problem.
What's going on? Ready to talk about some Ascension? I'm sorry.
Sure.
Real quick, was there anything else you guys wanted to add on Final Fantasy?
Nope. That
no.
was it.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Let's rewind.
So I get center stage.
Yeah, let's rewind a little bit. We've been talking about the lore in League of Legends and how Ascension basically relates to Xerath. We just kind of thought he was just put in there, but now I'm actually seeing that he is a part of the lore and Ascension is something. And it's a new game type that we have. Can you tell us more about the game type and how different it is from Summoner's Rift or any other game types that we've had in the past?
All right, so the map actually is, it does take place on the Crystal Scar map. Sorry. So there are three different points on the map that your team can teleport to, and one of them is shared with the other enemy team. So your team and the enemy team can teleport to the one that's on the very top. So there are three points that you could go to. You use this trinket, I can't remember the name of it, but the trinket that you have in the game is used to teleport to the platforms, which are basically the same stations that they have in Crystal Scar, except that you don't capture those points. Now, they still have the relics that you can get, you know, the ones like that give you the buff and speed boost, and those contribute to getting you points towards winning. So the point of the game is to get 200 points to win, and you can get, I believe it's for killing the Ascendant, which is Xerath, the big boss that's in the middle, which is basically like, if you guys remember Doombots, that's basically the abilities that he has, because he can shoot out his, I don't know what specific thing it's assigned to, but his little line of electricity or energy or whatever it is, he can shoot it out in like several different directions, and his ult goes in several different places at once, and so it is pretty difficult. It's kind of like a Baron, sort of. And his health increases as levels increase, and when you kill him, you get 5 points, and only one person on the team, whoever gets the final blow, will be the one that gets ascended, so to speak. And basically that means they get really huge and get like extra health and damage and stuff until they're killed again, and Xerath won't respawn until the person that had ascended is killed. And then
quick question. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're saying it's about as difficult as Baron?
Actually, it's probably a mix between Dragon and Baron.
How is it on? Is so it skill based with dodging because, skills?
Yeah,
or?
That's more of it because Xerath has a lot of skill shots, so you kind of have to dodge a lot of stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you start out at level 1 or level 3 like in the other modes?
You do start out at level 3 as well, with extra gold and stuff, as per usual. There are also, I think they added a new item for it. I'm not sure because I don't really play, Dominion a lot. Gosh, I wish I could remember the name of it. Maybe I should just, like, sign into the PB and look at the actual name of the item, but,
Okay.
It's basically, like, an amplified Doran's ring. I know, I've only
prospector
played, like,
items. Those have been, yeah, those have
okay.
been
I didn't know, because I don't really play that map a lot anyways.
No one really does.
But yeah, the game mode is really cool, and, the other thing is that it's kind of like Aram, where you can't buy until you die. Huh.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting.
So it's really cool. And you get, the point system is you get five, your team gets 5 points for killing the Ascendant, and then 3 points for a person on your team killing another enemy player, and then 2 points for capturing the totem things, which give you the little buff in the little area of speed boost. Go ahead.
How early can your team attack Xerath?
I haven't actually paid attention to the spawn timers, but I'm pretty sure it's about the same as when Dragon spawns it. Around, actually, it may be sooner. Maybe like 2 minutes in, 3 minutes.
So basically,
you can't teleport until I think like a minute and a half in. So it's either around 2 or 3 minutes that he spawns. But until then, you can capture the little relic totems or kill enemy players to get points. And then whichever team reaches 200 first, they win. And I don't believe that I've seen that there's any way to lose points. You can only go up.
Huh.
Yeah, it sounds like Riot's been like putting out all these game modes, these like quote test game modes, and it looks like we finally mm-hmm. got something that we didn't even get to test that they're actually going to put out for real. This actually does seem like it might stick just because of like we're talking about the lore, because
the lore base, yeah.
Xerath is his title is the Magus or what? How do you say that?
Is it Magnus?
I don't see an N in there.
Magus.
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 Magus. Yeah, maybe.
Just go with it, man.
Anyway,
spelling.
Ascendant is part of his title, so it would only make sense that he would be the big bad boss in the meta. That just makes him to me seem like
Magus.
A bad guy.
That's how you pronounce it. I just googled it. Magus.
Awesome. But
a member of a priestly caste of ancient Persia, a sorcerer. Thank you, Google.
What's funny is Azir has the most Easter eggs, I think, out of any champion, and he's a rooster. I'm dead serious. If you
look up
how many Easter eggs he has to people and targets, it's ridiculous, and he's a rooster.
He's a rooster.
Well, you know, he looks like a bird, you know?
I'm pretty sure that when the game mode actually comes out, they'll release a bit more lore about it, because right now it's still in PBE testing, so there isn't really much that we know specifically about, you know, what's behind the map and everything. It's mostly just...
And that's something we need to relay very loudly, is all the storyline, that game mode is all PBE. It could change overnight.
Everything is, subject to change.
It could change overnight, totally.
I think this map will, I think the map itself will probably stick better because of like, because originally you just like kind of ran to the center and you like clicked on a button and you like had to, had a couple of minutes to like cast something to get a buff or something. So I think this will be a lot better. Big part of the minion though is like your teammates will feed and they'll just run around and there's like very little coordination. So I'm hoping this, maybe this Ascension map will bring in some of the more veteran players.
Have you got to play as Azir yet?
I have not, because every time I go into a game, somebody insta-locks.
That's what custom games are for.
Yeah, I probably should just do that. But I've seen him in game, obviously. His ult is really cool. It's basically like, imagine a Nami wave, and then you can't go past it either.
It's with people.
It's really cool.
Nami wave with people. Well, I did y'all have any other questions?
That's it. For her?
All right. Why didn't we get into the PvE?
Yeah.
Because you didn't sign up. Yeah. Real quick.
All you have to do is sign up, dude.
Probably my favorite part of the map is actually the Fog of War, which is basically like there's just dust all over the map. That's what the Fog of War is, and you can't really see
cool.
like two
oh, like
feet
desert
from you.
Sands and all that.
Oh,
cool.
That's cool.
That is really cool.
It's so the, sounds it's like the they're actually remaking the Dominion.
It's the little things that are
map.
So important.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like they're retexturing it to be different.
Well, thanks for listening, everybody, to our very interesting episode that went by really quickly. We obviously missed quite a few different things, but don't worry. Just come back next week, and we'll talk about more video game news. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook at RageQuitRadio.com. Follow us on Twitter at MLRRageQuitRadio. And follow us on Twitch. Watch us stream at Rage Quit Radio. And tune in next week for our next episode. And thanks again for tuning in. Everyone have a good night.